Like they're going back. We thank you for being with us this morning to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ, God's goodness to us. And we just are delighted that you can be here. Right after church, actually, today, Lori and I will be getting on the road to Dallas. So we'll be going up to the pre-trib conference this week, and that goes Monday through Wednesday. And we'll be seeing Dr. Price will be there, so Pastor Price. So we'll get to visit with him and a number of different people that we have known through the years in ministry. And Tim LaHaye will be there. Chuck Smith is doing the banquet this year, so we're excited about that. And there will be a prophecy update there, so we'll no doubt come home encouraged about how we need to invest and use the time that God has given us before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we do look forward to that soon coming return of our Lord Jesus. We will pick up in our studies in 1 Thessalonians actually in January. So we're going to take some time here for Christmas-type things, messages. And I wanted to speak with you this morning about the value of the gift. The value of the gift of salvation that we've received in Jesus Christ, and put our reflections where they need to be. How many times growing up did we hear, what'd you get for Christmas? And it was just the type of thing that I remember being little that was often frequently asked, what'd you get for Christmas? And, you know, as believers, we really, the focus of our time with the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that He came and humbled Himself to come and dwell among us as His people, we got a new life. We got new identity in Christ, and we've got a new disposition because of the salvation that has been wrought in Jesus Christ. So these next couple of weeks, we want to look at some of the things that we are in Christ, some of the things that surround the blessing and the gift of God's salvation to us as His children. So we'll be looking this morning at the value of the gift in regard to our new life. And, you know, around Christmas, it gets very busy. The activity increases and busyness. It's very easy to become a Martha. But we need to remember and just need to refocus from time to time that it is necessary for us to sit at the feet of our Master, at the foot of our Master. And if we do that, we'll rise well and we'll have that energy that comes from the Lord to serve in the way that the Lord would have us to. But if we put service first and if we put activity first, then we'll grow fatigued, won't we? So we want to remember that in the gift and the giving of our salvation in Jesus Christ, it's necessary for us to be at the feet of the Lord Jesus. It's necessary to go to His presence frequently, and I'm not just preaching to you, I'm speaking to myself here. This past week we were preparing for the pre-trib conference and trying to get the house ready for the Christmas party next Friday for you to come out and spend some time in this season with us. And it gets busy, but we need to go and have that time in prayer and time before the Lord. So a gift is an interesting thing, isn't it? It's in a purest sense, a gift must be associated with the attribute or the perfection of grace that is rooted in the benevolent character and the nature of our Creator. He has given to us all things. Everything that we enjoy has come from His hand, and we have nothing that that is not His. So in His Lordship, we enjoy the blessings and the realities of this time and season of gift giving is that in the pure sense of giving to others, there's an association that we have with our Creator. There's an identity that we have as being created in His image that is a beautiful thing about Christmas. But like all things, it can get twisted as well, doesn't it? There's a lot of materialism out there, and sometimes gifts can be used for manipulative purposes, for power, position, or different things, and it's almost kind of like bribery type stuff. But we should pursue the beauty of a gift and the beauty of the reality of that gift in the Lord Jesus Christ that we have. And so what we want to look at in this sermon this morning and the next couple of weeks is we want to consider the treasures that we have been given in Jesus Christ, just so we can keep that focus again on what's important. And let us consider some of the basic principles of giving that makes this year a special time of year and a special time for us as believers in relationship to the nature of our benevolent Creator who gives all good things. So a valuable gift is characterized by the fact that it's freely given. It's given by God's grace. And often your giving is the expression of God's grace. Secondly, it's an expression of care and provision. The things that we learn from the gifts that we receive from our benevolent Creator is that He cares for us and He is able to provide. So I don't know if you're straining and struggling a little bit, and there's stresses at Christmas. For most people, that's usually the case. But it's nice just to pull back and rest in the reality that we have this constant expression of God's care and provision for us. And He will supply. He'll take care of you through these times. Also, a valuable gift is unblemished in quality. The quality of our salvation is a remarkable thing. And if we meditate on it and think upon it a little bit, it's of great benefit to us. And fourthly, it is sacrificial and valuable. We find these things in the gift of salvation. And so there are some good characteristics that we might take and take in mind during this time and season. There was an illustration that I had for you this morning. George Bernard Shaw, it was later in his life, and a person asking the question, if you could live your life over and be any person that you know personally or any person that you know from history, who would you choose to be? Shaw's response was that, well, I would choose to be the man I could have been but never was. And, you know, our life can really, as it unfolds, be like this. And it's important to realize that, you know, as God's people, we often think that, mistakenly think that what we have done is bad, but we really aren't so bad. And so if we could just kind of meet this standard and choose to be or make ourselves into what we have the potential to be, that things would go well. But it's important for us to remember and to reflect upon the fact that God goes to great lengths to show us that the old life cannot be restored. And I'm saying all of this is kind of the long way around to say that it was necessary for Jesus Christ to come. It was important that for us, because only by God's free grace can we in any way reach the potential of what we were created and intended to be. If we were to go back 100 times, George Bernard Shaw could have gone back 100 times and lived 100 lives, and he still would not have lived up to the potential of what he could have been simply by choice. It was necessary for God to do the work that he did through Jesus Christ in order for us to be transformed. Many of you, and it goes for all of us, even whether you're believer or unbeliever, we often think in terms of, if I can just reform myself, then things will be okay. But God doesn't work in transformation of the old person or the old life. God works in transformation of the person. And that's why it was necessary for Christ to die. And here's just, you can jot down these verses in your notes. I'm looking at the fact that our salvation must be freely given. In other words, you must be born again. You must become a new person. You can't reform your life. And George Bernard Shaw could have chosen, if he had had 100 lifetimes, he still could not have chosen to be the man that he could have been, apart from the salvation that comes in Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? And don't we need to refocus and realize that it is necessary to lay hold by faith of that which God and God alone can do in our lives? So he did that through Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us, for God so loved the world, and this is one of your verses there, you can put it in your notes. God so loved the world that he freely gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gift that was given to you was given freely. The gift that was given to you, God, in his goodness, out of the necessity for the changed and transformed life, gave it. He gave it that whosoever believes or puts their trust in him. Notice that the scripture doesn't say anything about he that reforms himself, or that chooses to make himself a better person, or that chooses in some way to live up to the standard of what he thinks he could have been. But it has to do with believing in the salvation that God has wrought for God's people. It is grace. It is unmerited, first of all. It is grace. It's unmerited. It is freely given. Secondly, it is something that we can't possess on our own. George Bernard Shaw could not possess it, and you can't possess it either. You can't possess it initially in being in rebirth and becoming a new creature in Jesus Christ and the transformation that takes place. It is a supernatural thing. It is a work that only God can do. And you can't possess or obtain the fullness of what God has intended for you apart from faith and trust and believing in the power, the supernatural power of God at work within your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? It is necessary by God's intended purposes for us by faith to believe in and trust in the power of God for our salvation. God is our Savior. And try though you may, you cannot prop yourself up, you can't save yourself, you can't make yourself into a new person, you cannot be reformed. It was necessary that God gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him might have everlasting life. Write down Romans 6:23 in your notes. The scripture says, for the wages of our sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I know that many of you know this verse and are very familiar with it, but don't get too familiar. Think again. It is a free gift of God. It is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is absolutely essential and needed. It was not something that was an option for us as God's people. We need to come to him for that free gift. For the wages of our sin is death. Our separation from God was complete. There was no way back to Him. There's no reformation for us. But we must turn and trust in the provision that He has made through His Son, the free gift of salvation, that eternal life which comes through Jesus Christ alone. Another point is that it's only through Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. It is not Jesus plus works, plus our reformation of ourselves. It is Jesus alone. It is His transforming power. It is His salvation that works in you that is necessary for the living of the Christian life and the fulfillment of the Christian life. It is the free gift of God to you. Can't be purchased. Can't be obtained by hard work or good works. It can't be established by your merit, but it is given by God's grace and God's grace alone. That's the reflection in Christmas that we need to come back to. We have been bought with a price. The Scripture says, here's another verse for you, 1 Peter 1:3. Now let's take a listen to this one. Again, I know that many of you are familiar with this verse, but 1 Peter 1:3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Do you hear that? God causes you to be born again. You can't do it on your own. You can't reform yourself. You can't clean yourself up and come to church. You can't become a member of this church and get right with God. There's only one way to get right with God. And that is by being born again by the power of God through salvation that comes through the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the resurrection power that is our life. It is what He has done in Jesus Christ. It is the gift that keeps on giving. It's constantly there for those who have put their trust in Him. But He causes you to be born again. That means that you're made spiritually anew. And if you're someone that is here that has never put their trust in Jesus Christ, it is essential. It is necessary. The work that Christ did, this that is mentioned and that is taught so clearly in Scripture, is necessary for you. For the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has caused you to be born again, or you're not born again. There's no life. There's no reformation from the old self. There's no retraining ourselves. There's no behavioral modification that will work. We must be born again. We must come through Jesus Christ and by the power of God, know salvation. Or otherwise, it is all church. It's all religion. It's all vain. It's all empty. It's all bogus.
Powerless.
Yes, sir. So it is. It springs from God's mercy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His mercy, He looked at you and saw your sad estate. He looked at George Bernard Shaw and realized what George Bernard Shaw stated. I would like to be the person that I could have been. The only way is through Christ. It is through His mercy when He saw that pitiful estate that God reached down through grace, through His Son. Jesus Christ came in the flesh and paid the price that was necessary. The Scripture tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of that sin is death. We not only have sinned and fallen short of the holy standard, the goodness and the grace of God, but we, because of the wage of that, because of the penalty for that sin, are separated from God, and we never can reach the potential of what we could have been apart from that which Christ wrought on the cross of Calvary. John 1, 12 and 13 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Do you hear that? Not of the will of man, not of the will of flesh, caused to be born again. Get the picture here in Scripture. But of God, born not of blood, born not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man. George Bernard Shaw could not do it ever in 100 lifetimes. You can't either. But God has done what we could not do. But of God, caused to be born again. So salvation is wrought through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone. It is new life that God has given to us in Christ. We should celebrate it. This season is all about the Lord Jesus, about His coming. It is about His having taken on Himself what was necessary, the wages of our sin, in order that the transfer of His righteousness might be given to us. The Scripture says that God made He who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And get the picture here. God took our sin and placed it upon Jesus Christ. And He took Christ's righteousness and He gave it to us as a free gift. The gift of eternal life. The gift of righteousness, not by our own merit, but by the merit and through the merit of Jesus Christ alone. God did what we could not do. God transformed. We can try to reform, but we can't transform. Only the power of God through Jesus Christ can reform. We have been given new life through rebirth, through what God has done. It is lived and it is linked through the resurrection. And through the resurrection of Jesus Christ was established the reality that God has power for new life. And we know of a certainty that just as Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead as the first fruit, that we also shall be resurrected. Our bodies will be taken up. This life is not all there is. God has done these things through our Lord Jesus Christ. This also places us in God's family. Notice that it says that as many as received Him, to them they received the right to become the children of God. The term born again is sometimes scorned, but born again is a scriptural, a biblical term. Born again is necessary. Becoming regenerated and becoming new in life is essential for us. It ushers us into the family of God. We become God's children. It places us in His family with all the benefits. So this gift is priceless. There's no way that we can think about it this Christmas season and come anywhere close to fathoming the breadth or the length or the depth or the height of the love of Christ for you. There's no way to plummet the depths. There's no way to understand the limits of God's love through Jesus Christ. But you have been placed in God's family with all of His benefits. That's transforming. That changes our lives. And it's so important for us to see and to understand that real transformation, not reformation of the old, but transformation by the new person, the children having become children of God. There's a new life and new resources that we have toward godliness, toward the things of God, toward those things which are necessary for us as God's people. I want to make the point here as well that it is by not only by Christ alone, but it's through faith. It is through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone that salvation, true salvation, transformation can take place. If you try to put your faith in your own ability, if you try to add Jesus plus works, you will fall short and you will be frustrated. And you will find that there is nothing there. But if you put your trust upon the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe and put your trust in Him, He will not fail you. And so our life as believers is a life of belief. It's a life of trust. It's a life of taking what God has said and believing what He has said. That's where our power is. It is not by reformation of self. How many times will I say that this morning? And finally here, under freely given, is that it supplies to us eternal resources. And that brings us to our next point. But I want to say once again, this morning there might be someone here that has never been born again, doesn't really even know what you're talking about, has never experienced a transformation of their life that only God can do. But let me tell you, it's not complicated. The Scripture says that he that believes on Jesus Christ, and what that means is simply that you trust His Word. And the ultimate question for each one of us here, whether you're coming in and being born again into the Christian life or whether you're already a child of God, the ultimate question for us always comes back to the fact is, does Jesus Christ have the power and is He willing to do what He said in His Word that He will do? You see, it's a matter of reputation. It's a matter of His name. And if we believe that He is God that came in flesh, if we believe that He has the power to do what He said He would do, then that is what is necessary for our salvation. That's the scriptural word that when we believe or put our trust in Him, that He most assuredly will do what He said He would do. And so what did He say He would do? He that believes in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Jesus Christ said, he that beholds the Son and believes in Him, shall I give to him eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. The ultimate question for each one of us is, do I believe that Jesus is able to do what He said He would do? If you do, if you can put your trust in the person of Christ, that is what is essential for your salvation. It is necessary in attributing to Him all of that power and the reality that what He has said in His Word that He will most certainly accomplish. And once you put your faith and trust in that, then the Scripture says that you have been born again. You have been ushered into new life. He that believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, secondly, it supplies eternal resources for us. In Jesus Christ, we not only have been caused to be born again, made new creatures, become children of God, but we also have been given an expression of care and provision daily for us as believers, as children of God. Let's look at some scripture here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. You can jot these verses down and go back and look later. But Ephesians 1, 3 says, and we just studied our book of Ephesians here not too long ago and finished up with that. But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has caused us, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now we need to think and meditate upon the gravity of this truth. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our resources are complete in the Christian life. You have everything that you need. And you may be striving as a believer. Often we strive because there's this standard of being conformed to the image of Christ, which is what God's purpose is in saving us in Jesus Christ. And in trying to look at that high standard, we find ourselves coming constantly short. But if we go back to the truth of God's Word, what Scripture is saying, what the Apostle Paul is saying, is that God has supplied to you. This God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So it's in the realm or in the from the source of Jesus Christ under this new covenant that we have been brought into with God when we were born again. There is life, every spiritual blessing. Our resources are complete. Do you feel incomplete this morning? Are you struggling in your Christian life? What the Scripture says is that everything that is essential and necessary for you has been given in Jesus Christ. Every spiritual blessing. You're complete in Him. Now, your experience may be incomplete. You may be struggling. But the truth of God's Word is that you have a heavenly bank account. You have resources there in the family of God. Having been born again as a child of God, He has given you resources. And no one is lacking for these resources. Nobody is lacking in Jesus Christ. He's not left anything out for you. He's not forgotten anything. He's not surprised by some flaws in your personal life. He knows it all. And He, in His determination in salvation through Jesus Christ, has supplied every spiritual blessing. You're complete in Jesus Christ. He has designed you, created you in His image, and that through Christ and the redemption of Christ, that you might know this fullness that we can't experience in our human energy. So I can hear questions now saying, well, why is it that I struggle so much? We struggle so much because we constantly go back to trying to reform the old life instead of by faith embracing the new life that has come to us in Jesus Christ. You see, the Christian life is a life of faith. It's a life of trusting or believing what God has said and not what we feel or experience or think, but what God has said. And God has said, God's word to you this morning is that you have been given every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It's all yours. It is a heavenly bank account. It is all the resource you need. We have that which is necessary. Another verse for you, 2 Peter 1:3 says, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Okay, we're looking here at the glorious gift of God, salvation. And in this glorious gift, this glory and excellence, God has given to you, according to His word here, everything that pertains to life and godliness. Are you struggling in the Christian life? My word to you would be that the reason that you're struggling is that you're trying to do in your old person what only God can do through faith in the promises of God in the new person. You see, we constantly are in flux as believers. We're constantly trying to, in our own strength and our own energy, do something supernatural. And we keep going back to this mode that, hey, I'm able to, in some way, fulfill or complete what is necessary in righteousness and holiness to satisfy or please God. But what God wants us to do is by faith to embrace the promises, the truth of His Word, and to know the glory of His Spirit, His power working in and through us what we cannot do for ourselves. Isn't that a great life? I mean, what a gift that what we could not do, God is willing by faith to do through us. By His power. The Scripture says that that same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead also quickens our mortal bodies. You all ought to have that memorized by now. I've said it so much. But I think that's the most incredible thing. That God, that His Spirit quickens our mortal bodies. That He does through us what we cannot do. And if we can just drop our striving and trying to please God by our own energy and trying to reform this funky old life that needs to be thrown at the cross of Calvary, at Jesus, with Jesus Christ there. By faith, we die on the cross of Calvary with Christ. We're so identified with Him that that's where God wants us to be, dead in Christ. And out of that death comes life. So we have this heavenly bank account. And every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, everything pertaining to life and godliness, God has given to you. Do you believe that? Are you willing to throw aside your experience? To throw